that was keeping us nights from Medjugorje, where we went for 3 weeks, accompanied 2 groups, about 100 people altogether. It was a beautiful experience. I hope that one day you can join us to Medjugorje. Sister Kameri also with us. You know who is Sister Kameri? No? You know? Sister Kameri. She came with us also. So anything you can ask her. You don't know? No, I mean the one who was with us, Sister Kameri. She was with us also to the trip. It was anything you can ask her, what her experience. Okay. Now we go back to 1938. It's one real reflection. As I was praying for Poland, I heard the words from Jesus. I bear a special love for Poland, and if she will be obedient to my will, I will exalt her in might and holiness. From her will come forth the spark that will prepare the world for my final coming. That her words. Welcome, hidden love, life of my soul. I welcome you, Jesus, under these insignificant forms of bread. Welcome, sweetest mercy, who poured yourself out for souls. Welcome, infinite goodness, who pour out everywhere torrents of your graces. Welcome, O veiled brightness, the light of souls. Welcome, delights of pure souls. Welcome, only hope of sinful souls. O my Jesus, you know that there are times when I have neither lofty thoughts nor a soaring spirit. I bear with myself patiently and admit that is just what I am, because all that is beautiful is a grace from God. All that's beautiful is a grace from God. And so I humble myself profoundly and cry out for your help. And the grace of visitation is not slow in coming to the humble heart. So when we come to Jesus with humility, just adoring. O virgin, lovely flower, you will not remain much longer in this world. Oh, how beautiful your loneliness, my pure pride. No numbers can count you. How dear is your virginal flower. Your brightness is in no way dimmed. It's brave, strong, invincible. The very rays of the noonday sun dims in darkness in the presence of virgin heart. I see nothing greater than virginity. It is flower taken from the divine heart. O gentle virgin, fragrant rose, although there are many roses on earth, no eyes has seen, nor has it entered into the mind of man, what awaits is a virgin in heaven. O virgin, snow-white lily, you live wholly for Jesus alone, praising our Heavenly Mother. And in the pure chalice of your heart, is a pleasing dwelling place for God Himself. O Virgin, no one will sing your hymn. In your song lies hidden the love of God. Even the angels do not comprehend what a virgin sing to God. O Virgin, your flower of paradise eclipses all the splendors of this world. And although the world cannot comprehend you, it bows humbly before you. Although the virgin's path is strewed with thorns and her life bristles with many a cross, who is as brave as she, nothing will break her She is invincible. O Virgin, earthly angel, your greatness is renowned throughout the church. You stand guard before the tabernacle and, like a seraph, become all love. Once, I was on veranda. I saw that a certain person was being troubled by strong temptations concerning holy confession, doubting its secrecy. Although I knew the condition of that soul, I myself did not start the conversation. When we were alone, she opened her heart to me and told me everything. After talking for a short while, she said to me, "I am at peace now. My soul has received much light." You know, Faustina didn't talk much. If you have light, even though you say you give light to people. First of all, you must be light itself. First of all, you'll be another Christ. If your soul doesn't have this, God doesn't live in you, how can you have the light? So it's not a thing to tell people what to do or not to do. You don't have to. If you have the light in self, even you don't say it. The person, you know, even she didn't say tell the person anything, said, "I'm at peace," because you have peace. That's why the disciple of Jesus, every time Jesus appeared to them after resurrection, "Peace be with you." And Jesus asked his disciples going out to preach and cast devils, but first of all, enter the house and say, "Peace be with you." And Jesus come to this earth. It's all the Christmas songs, "Peace on earth, peace with people." Today, Jesus made known to me that I should speak little with a certain religious sister. A special grace of God sustained me, and during the conversation, which would not otherwise have been for God's glory. The Lord said to me, "Enter into purgatory often, because they need you there." Oh my Jesus, I understand the meaning of these words which you are speaking to me. But first let me enter the treasury of your mercy. The Lord said, "Right, my daughter, that I am mercy itself for the contrite soul. A soul's greatest wretchedness does not enkindle me with wrath, but rather my heart is moved toward it with great mercy." If a contrite heart that attracts Jesus. Oh my Jesus, give me strength to endure suffering so that I may not make a wreath face when I drink the cup of bitterness. Help yourself to make my sacrifice pleasing to you. May not be tainted by my self-love, even though it extends over many years. May purity of intention make it pleasing to you, fresh and full of life. This life of mine is a ceaseless struggle, a constant effort to do your holy will. You made everything that is in me, both my misery and my strength. Give praise to you, O Lord. She said, the life of mine is a ceaseless struggle, a constant effort to do your holy will. So, not missing temptations, hardship, never missing. A constant effort to do the will of God. But that's how we get the peace. We are disturbed because we say, "Well, still the cross." When we have the cross, you say there is no peace. That's not true. The peace is where you just be humble and ask for help. still when even then it's no peace. No, I mean, but the hardship is there. But you are carrying your little cross. But Jesus is always at peace, right? Even you have the cross. Don't tell yourself, until the cross going away, then I'm at peace. St. Paul asked Jesus also to take him some of the difficulties so that he can have peace and have strength to preach the gospel. Say, Jesus said, no, keep your little crosses. I will give you sufficient grace to overcome this cross. You know, the problem is not that you have the cross on the cross. Problem is whether you accept it as a gift of the Lord and share the love for others. You take your cross and share the resurrection Lord with others. Don't share your cross with others. Of course, someone can understand you that you can share a little bit, but you don't put your cross on the other. They cannot carry your cross. That's your cross, not their cross. Sometimes we are doing too much to put your own cross on the others, and you feel free. That's selfishness. Cross that you have to take yourself. Blessing you give to others. Is it correct?
Yes.
Yeah. The infinite goodness of God in the creation of the angels. O God, who are happiness in your very self and have no need of creatures to make you happy. Because of yourself, you are the fullest of love. Yet, out of your faithfulness, mercy, you call creatures into being and grant them a share in your eternal happiness and changeless life, that divine enduring life which you live, one God in three persons. In your unfathomable mercy, you have created angels and created angelic spirits and admitted them to your love and to your divine intimacy. You have made them capable of eternal love. Although you bestowed on them so generously, O God, the splendor of love and beauty, your fullness was not diminished in the least. O God, long have their love and beauty completed you, because you are everything in yourself. And if you have allowed them to participate in your happiness and to exist to love you, that is only due to the peace of your mercy. This is your unfathomable goodness for which they glorify you without end, humbling themselves at the feet of your majesty as they chant the eternal hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. You know, not all the angels satisfied. They share really the beauty of the Lord. Satan is the one who say, why I have to be obedient to you, although the angels are creatures. But they say, we can be as beautiful as you are. We can be God, divine. That's proud. That's pride. That the angels fall down. Be praised, merciful God, one God in the Trinity, in Holy Trinity, unfathomable, infinite, incomprehensible, immersing themselves in you. Their minds cannot comprehend you. So they repeat without end the eternal Holy, Holy, Holy. Be glorified, O merciful creator of yours, O Lord, omnipotent, but full of compassion, inconceivable. To love you is the mission of your existence, singing our eternal hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. So we are called to give praise to the Lord, not for self. Be blessed, merciful God, eternal love. You are above the heavens, the seraphs and firmaments. The host of pure spirit sings you praises. Its eternal hymn, twice holy. And gazing upon you face to face, O God, I see that you could have called their creatures before them. Therefore, they humble themselves before you in great humility. For well, they see that this grace comes solely from your mercy. But the most beautiful spirit would not recognize your mercy, and blind by their pride, he drew others after him. Angel of great beauty, he became Satan, and was cast down in one moment from heaven's heights into hell. Just one intention of pride, the angels. Then the faithful spirit cried, "Glory to God's mercy." And they stood firm in spite of their fiery tests. It's also a test for the angels. They're so beautiful, really close to God. They praise, the only difference is they praise the Lord instead of being praised. They want to be being praised, and that's become Satan. And they stood firm in spite of the fiery tests. Glory to Jesus, the Christ abased. Glory to his mother, the humble and pure virgin. After this battle, the pure spirit plunged into the ocean of divinity, contemplating the praise and praising the depths of his mercy. They drowned in his mercy and manifold lights. Possessing knowledge, the trinity of persons, the oneness of Godhead. So that's the son is called Lucifer. Lux means light. The one who brings light is Lucifer. Now become Satan. He got the light. Light is shared with others, to give others, to praise God. But in the universe itself, why don't you praise me? You know, God gave him so much. And that's the same as human being. We are created so much, so beautiful, in his image, that Lucifer come to earth and tell Eve, "Why don't you eat that forbidden food?" She said, "Cannot." And then coming the temptation, "Why don't? You will be as high as the Lord while you are obedient to the Lord. You can be the same. You will know the knowledge of the Lord." That's why they call it the tree of knowledge. They're testing our humility. We are creatures, but we want to be as high as the Lord, the same as Lucifer, Satan. He gives you the same false light. And that's how original sin come into this world. This is how we share this painfulness of life. Of course, even without your original sin, although we have to live with love. But with love, you have to die of yourself, right? You have to void of yourself so that other people can enter into you. You'd be nothing. So there are something in you. That's something you have to learn to. This is what we call to die out of love, not out of egoism, not conditional. That's why Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you." Jesus loves us unconditionally, always the first one to love, and we have to learn. Be the first one to love. Even they don't love you, you love them. Pray for them, forgiving them, at least. God's infinite goodness in creating mankind. Now it's come to us. God, who in mercy have deigned to call man from nothingness into being, generously have you bestowed upon him nature and grace. But that seems too little for your infinite goodness. In mercy, O Lord, you have given us everlasting life. You admit us to your everlasting happiness and grant us to share in your interior life. And you do this solely out of your mercy. You bestowed on us the gift of your mercy, of your grace, only because you are good and full of love. You have no need of us at all to be happy. But you, O Lord, want to share your own happiness with us. But man did not stand the test. You could have punished him like the angels with eternal rejection. But here your mercy appeared, and the very depths of your being were moved with great compassion, and you promised to restore our salvation. It is incomprehensible abyss of your compassion that you did not punish us as we deserved. May your mercy be glorified, O Lord. We will praise it for endless ages. And the angels were amazed at the greatness of the mercy which you have shown for mankind. You know, the difference is angels forever condemned, but human beings still have a chance. The Son of God come to pay for price of pride. May you be adored, O merciful God of ours, O all-powerful love, Lord and Creator. In deepest humility we give you praise, plunging ourselves into the ocean of your Godhead. But men did not persevere in the hours of trial. At the instigation of the evil one, he became unfaithful to you. So Peter was warned they would betray him. But Peter said, "No, I will die with him. I will die with you." He says, "No, tonight, before the cock crow, you betray me 3 times. Man, so fragile, so weak. Although you have good intention, but it's not enough. You need to trust. That's what Jesus teaches us. Trust. Jesus said, trust in you. So in that sense, Peter didn't trust much. He trusted in himself. Well, he thought, I won't do, of course, he won't betray Jesus. But you know what he said? Before the mate only, say, "I don't know this man, I never meet this man, I never know him." And then he said he will die with him. You see, that position. He lost your grace and gifts. All the misery was left him. All tears, suffering, sorrow, and bitterness until he will rest in the grave. That's the destiny of man in this way. But you, O merciful God, did not let humanity perish and gave it to the promise of a Redeemer. You did not let us despair despite our grave offenses. And you sent your prophets to Israel. Still, day and night, cries out to you. From the abyss of misery, sin, and all pain, hear the mourning of the tears, you who reign in heaven, God of great mercy, God of compassion. Man erred, but he cannot ask pardon. Because a gaping chasm has appeared between God and man. With the voice of his misery, he cries out mercy. But Yahweh is silent, and century after century passes on. But the longing of all humankind grows deeper, a longing for him who has been promised. Come, Lamb of God, take away our wild sins. Come, illumine our darkness like a ray of light. Humanity calls out to you unceasingly, O Lord of Lords, calls out to your unfathomable mercy, to your compassion. O great Yahweh, grant that we may make atonement. Remember your goodness and forgiveness our sins. All the prophets is preparing the way of the Messiah. Even in the very beginning, you know, there's a woman who come to crush the head of the serpent, Satan. The infinite goodness of God is sending us his only begotten Son. It is salvation history. God, you did not destroy man after his fault, but in your mercy, you forgave him. You forgave in a divine way. That is, not only have you absolved him from guilt, but you have bestowed upon him every grace. Mercy has moved you to deign to descend among us and lift us up from our misery. God will descend to earth. The immortal Lord of Lords will abase himself. But where will you descend, Lord? Will it be to the temple of Solomon? Or will you have a little tabernacle built for yourself? Where do you intend to come down, O Lord? What kind of tabernacle shall we prepare for you, since the whole earth is your footstool? You have indeed prepared the tabernacle for yourself, the Blessed Virgin Mary. There was John Paul II says, Mary, our Heavenly Mother, is the first tabernacle on earth, living tabernacle. Oh, by the way, at the end of this year, John Paul II will become a saint. It's announced at the end of the year, together with Pope John the 23rd. Two popes be sent together. And it's announced together with the Pope and Pope Francis and Pope Benedict together. They are announced this. It's beautiful. Eh? Her Immaculate Womb is a dwelling place, and the inconceivable miracle of your mercy takes place. O Lord, the Word become flesh. God dwells among us. The Word of God, mercy incarnate. By descent, you have lifted up us up to your divinity. Such is the excess of your love, the beast of your mercy. Heaven is amazed at the superabundance of your love. No one fears to approach you now. You are the God of mercy. You have compassion on misery. You are our God, and we are your people. You are our Father, and we are your children by grace. Praise be to your mercy that you have deigned to descend among us. So beautiful, no? God, although we are so sinful, but the more sinful, it's more merciful. Be adored, O God of mercy, because you have deigned to descend from heaven to earth. Most humbly, we adore you for your having more saved the exalt of mankind. Unfathomable and incomprehensible in your mercy, for love of you, us, you take on flesh from the Immaculate Virgin, ever untouched by sin, because you have willed it so with all ages. The Blessed Virgin, the snow white lily, is first to praise the omnipotence of your mercy. Her pure heart opens with love for the coming of the Word. She believes the words of God, of God's messenger, and is confirmed in trust. Only trust. You know, how can the Son of God come to my womb? To never doubt this word of God. Heaven is told that God has become man. The instant she said yes, incarnation start. That there is on earth a heart worthy of God himself, only the Heavenly Mother. Immaculate heart that's worthy to be the tabernacle. Why is that you do not unite yourself with a seraph, but with a sinner, O Lord? Or because, despite the purity of virginal womb, this is a mystery of your mercy. So he said he can, with the seraph, with the angel, in the form, any form, but in a human way, it's something incomprehensible. And this unfathomable love of the Lord can think of these things. O mystery of God's mercy, O God of compassion, that you have died to lift the heavenly throne and to stoop down to our misery, to human weakness. For it is not angels, but men who needs mercy. He commands so that he understands. Oh, of course he understands men. But, so much so that he can part of us. To give worthy praise to the Lord's mercy, we unite ourselves with your Immaculate Mary, Immaculate Mother, for then our hymn will be more pleasing to you, because she is chosen from among men and the angels. Through her, as through a pure crystal, your mercy was passed on to us. Through her, men became pleasing to God. Through her, streams of grace flow down upon her. God's infinite goodness in redeeming man. God, you could have saved thousands of worlds with one word. A single sigh from Jesus would have satisfied your justice. But you yourself, Jesus, purely out of love for us, underwent such a terrible passion. Your Father's justice would have been propitiated with a single sigh from you, and all your self-abasement is solely the work of your mercy and your conceivable love. On leaving the earth, O Lord, you wanted to stay with us, and so you left us yourself in the sacrament of the altar. You opened wide your mercy on us. There is no mystery that could exalt you. You have called us all to his fountain of love. So Jesus normally become man. Even in the pure bread, he exists in the form of bread. It's a divine person. No, whether it's Jesus or the Father, the Spirit, together. He just want to weep with us. You have called us all to this fountain of love, to this spring of God's compassion. He is the tabernacle of your mercy. He is the redeeming remedy for all our ills. So this towards the blessed sacrament. To you, O living spring of mercy, all souls are drawn. Some like deer, thirsting for your love, others towards the wound of the sins, and still others exhausted by life to draw strength. At the moment of your death on the cross, you bestowed upon us eternal life, allowing your most holy side to be opened, beside the two sides.